We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. John Harris will join us shortly. How cool was that yesterday at the Houston Sports Awards? You have the Dallas Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, walking down the red carpet. You have Houston Astros owner, Jim Crane, walking down the red carpet, talking to anybody and everybody about what they wanted to talk about. But one voice, not too talkative on the red carpet.
Yeah, look, JB, I mean, that's one thing, and they've created this monster. You're talking about Bill O'Brien and Cal McNair, essentially. I mean, they've created this monster of how do you have the Houston Sports Awards, right? And as you mentioned, the owner of the Astros that's in the most adverse times of his life, probably, definitely his professional career, he not only comes and sit down with us, but he looks at our guy and goes, yeah, those guys probably got some questions that they need answers to. Yeah, I'll come on over there. Yeah. It was totally unprovoked, and dude comes over there and sits down, right? And then you got Jerry Jones, like I said earlier, comes down 2 hours early in his tuxedo, fully dressed in his tuxedo, comes down, sits down with us. And one of the most trying, he'll probably tell you it's one of the most adverse times he's been in. He's an older owner.
Yeah,
I don't know how much longer he's got owning the franchise and being able to actively do the day-to-day things. Probably longer than most, but he just had to hire a new coach. He's got a team. He's got a boatload of money invested in that didn't make the playoffs. That not only didn't make the playoffs, they messed the bed late in the season. They handed it to the Philadelphia Eagles who were half cocked. They had about half their players, right? He sits down for an hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not in the chair for an hour, but he's down and around mingling on the red carpet for an hour. He sits down with us for 15 minutes, right? I mean, you've got Oliver Luck, whose son just up and retired, and it was controversial. He's starting the XFL. All this new stuff going on. All these reasons not to really, should I say this? He sits down. I mean, to me, it's one of those deals where it is a glaring notice when you go, why would the owner of the Houston Texans not sit down and break a little bread? It literally is walk the red carpet, up the staircase, you go right for 10 steps and we're sitting right there, or you go left for 10 steps and you can walk into the banquet hall. It was not out of the way. It was very easy. Threw a little curtain, boom, sit down. There was nobody there bothering anybody. Sit down, let's have a conversation. No Bill O'Brien, no Cal McNair, right? It's interesting. It's frustrating, right? When you sit around and we're in this business every day and you wonder why, everybody goes, why does it matter? Let me tell you why it matters. Because Jerry Jones sat down with us, and when I left the banquet last night, I got messages on my phone talking about, hey, can we, national outlets, do you give us permission to use that audio from that interview with Jerry Jones, right?
Yeah.
And because Jerry makes it a point to be available, and then all of a sudden you become appointment, you said it earlier, appointment listening, right? I'm going to listen because Jerry's sure. On. All of a sudden, everything you say and do, boom, it's all over the place. The notoriety builds and the value builds, and so it's just, to me, it's like I can't wrap my head around why those guys wouldn't come sit down in that scenario. It's I understand why a guy wouldn't leave the office during game week,
sure,
to do it,
sure,
but when you're in that environment, I don't understand why you wouldn't sit down and get some things off your chest. If you don't want to talk about something, tell them, say, hey, coach don't want to talk about the offensive coordinator position. Cool. We'll talk about other stuff. No sure. problem. That's respect. It's all respect.
Absolutely.
Right? And so for me, it's just one of those deals where you go, I understand avoiding it, and if you're uncomfortable with it, not, but you're in a tux, man. You got a bow tie on, man. We're there to celebrate this team and the season. You just made it to the second round of the playoffs. Let's sit down and talk about some things. And then on the backside of not doing that, all those guys you just mentioned, in the times in their life that they're dealing with, they sit down and talk. It's puzzling to me because you got to understand the value of doing those kind of things.
That's the perfect way to put it, too, because it's puzzling to me, too, and I'm trying to understand the value. Like, I like to look at, you know, certain people's point of view and try to get an understanding of why they do something. And usually if I disagree, like you and I have disagreements all the time, but I can understand why you're saying it and we can just agree to disagree. But the thing that troubles me and it really bothers me is whenever you don't understand why, other than I guess they just don't want to. Like Jim Crane, as you mentioned, if for as long as he's on the Astros, which hasn't been a lot, hadn't been a ton of time, this is the most crucial stage of his ownership with the Houston Astros, and he's talking to everybody. He's done an outstanding job taking charge of the message of the Astros, had the press conference like an hour after the Major League Baseball handed down their suspensions, fired their manager and general manager, and you know, you might disagree that they shouldn't have fired him, but it's a strong stance. He's being vocal. He's being transparent. And that's kind of where I stand whenever owners talk or figureheads talk or people who are in the position of leadership. Be transparent with me. I don't have to agree with you, but I want to know your thoughts. I want some transparency whenever I talk to whoever I'm talking to.
JB, I think it's part of – it's just like this, right? The NFL, the whole Marshawn Lynch thing back in the day.
Uh-huh.
Where you got to go. You got to go sit in front of them. I'm here so I don't get fined.
Right.
I'm here. That was a huge ordeal, right? Why is it, and I'm not asking, I'm not comparing apples and oranges here. I'm asking you this. Why is it such a big deal to the NFL that Marshawn Lynch sit and talk?
Well, it's because they want the fans to be engaged. That's how they bring fans to the stadium. They get to know the players. That's why media is important to any of these leagues, because something that was put in place years and years ago.
It's put in place to help the NFL.
Yeah.
It's put in place to help the appeal of right.
Yeah.
That's it. That's why Jerry does it. That's why Marshawn Lynch was forced to do it. That's why it's, whether we agree with it or not, that's why in certain scenarios, players, coaches, owners are required to do it, because there's a value there that is building the brand of the NFL or of a certain team. So to me, that's why it's puzzling why you don't ever, it's like, why would you pass up that opportunity? Why would you pass up the opportunity to just sit down and break bread?
I don't get it either.
I mean, you got guys that come over there. Man, we had to tell Jerry, like, hey, Jerry, man, thanks for joining us. I mean, he would have sat there and answered questions all night long. I mean, look, like I said, Crane, he would have answered any and everything. In fact, the way that he got there, if it would have got relayed to us what he said, we would have went in on all kind of different questions. Because he was like, y'all got questions? Y'all got questions you need answers to? I'll go over there. Right. Well, we didn't know that till afterwards. So we were kind of, hey, what do you think about this? What about that? Where are you at with the coaching hire? Man, he was ready to go all in. You know, so it's one of those where I just don't. I ain't mad about it. You know, one way, six one way, half dozen another. It's, we're gonna do our job. And we're gonna have fun doing it. We're gonna talk ball. But when it's all said and done, I just wish that they would be more open to those types of situations when it's convenient, and when it doesn't happen, on the flip side, all the others doing it leaves you wondering why. That's it.
Puzzling, I think, is the best way you could possibly say it. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. John Harris will be joining us at 3:18. Did you see this Antonio Brown, the latest with Antonio Brown? The guy's a nutcase. Apparently, he's locked himself in his house today. We saw the story that yesterday he and his trainer got into some sort of altercation with a moving company. Antonio Brown refused to pay the moving company, so the moving company didn't give him their stuff. It led to way more than it should have led to. Apparently some sort of altercation that led to the trainer being fired. They've called Antonio Brown, the authorities have, to kind of bring him in for this investigation. Antonio Brown has locked himself in his house. He's avoiding any calls. He's basically ghosting the investigators in this whole deal. This guy's lost it. He's a basket case,
yeah,
and
man,
he's in the news again for something that he shouldn't be in the news for.
Yeah, I just can't. Every day it's something. I've already asked, how in the hell does this guy have the energy to constantly be having moving vans and doing videos and working at football and going to training and working in social media? It's hard enough for me. Hell, my truck got broke into last night. I had to get up this morning and deal with that. It was a back window, and I'm exhausted right now because I had to deal with that. How in the hell has this guy got the energy to do what he's doing? He must be going to Low T Center.
Well, he doesn't have a job and Low T Center.
Yeah, man, he's lost his mind. And look, somebody needs to get this cat some help. But when Drew Rosenhaus decides to cut all ties with Antonio Brown, with his agent, a guy that, even as crazy as Antonio is, you would think would be able to capitalize on on him and make a dime here or there, some way, shape, or form. When that guy goes, hey, I'm done, I'm going to wash my hands of him, that's the first legit sign, other than teams just cutting him in the league, investigating him, which he's always been able to lean on. Well, they're investigating me because of this, the player, this, you know, all these different excuses. They're out to get me. He plays the victim as well as any player ever has. This is different. When your agent backs out on you, when the guy that you pay essentially is like, hey, man, I'm out, like there's you're beyond a point of return, I'm out, that to me, that's a big sign. Somebody needs to grab this cat and help him.
Whenever Rosenhaus said that I'm no longer going to work with you, that to me was the final straw that Antonio Brown's never playing in the NFL again. Like, even if everything broke right for him and all of the legal investigations that he's involved in and all of the stuff that the NFL is looking into and whatever, like that he's not on the commissioner's exempt list, but if he signed with a team, he immediately would be placed on the commissioner's exempt list. Like, even if everything like that went his way, whenever Drew said, I'm no longer working with Antonio Brown, told me that Antonio Brown's never playing in the NFL again.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. You kind of mentioned it. Like, if it's this guy, Drew Rosenhaus,
yeah.
If he's saying I'm done with you, that means you're not going to make him a dollar.
You can't make him a dollar.
If you're not going to make him a dollar, that means you're not playing in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm cutting ties. Look, man, I mean, is there anything in this world worse than the person that plays the victim all the time?
No. I mean, accept responsibility, you know, say, even like when you screw up, say, hey, you know what? That was my bad. I screwed up. I'm sorry. I'll do better next time.
Well,
like, that's fine.
Here's a perfect example, and I don't have all the details, but a perfect example. Apparently the New Orleans Saints, you probably read about this, when the New Orleans Saints brought him in for a workout, they asked him not to bring a group of people. They asked him to come in like everybody else and work out.
Yeah.
Well, he showed up apparently with a group of people and a camera
posse.
Crew and all this kind of stuff.
John McClane posse.
Right. And so he doesn't end up getting signed, right?
Yeah.
And so he goes out, and then all of a sudden it's the Saints are the bad guys because this was a media stunt just to get attention, or this is some way to do me wrong. No, dumbass, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You failed the first part of being a good teammate, of being a champion, which is be coachable, right? Listen, be coachable. You failed that from the jump. You're on the outside looking in, trying to get another shot. We're reaching out to you. You're down. We're reaching out to you, trying to lift you up, and you can't be coachable in that instance. Like, and you find, and then he turns around and somehow finds a way to be the victim in this situation. I mean, to me, there's nothing worse because what you do, one, that person becomes someone you can't trust. You don't ever want to be around. But the bad thing is whatever they're clamoring over. There are people out there that have real problems. There's people out there that struggle with the things that probably similar to what Antonio Brown struggles with. And those people are fighting a good fight, and they need the confidence and the trust to be able to cut through and make progress and get better. And guys like that are always playing the victim, they slow down that process. Guys like that, they force individuals that don't know all the details to lose confidence and lose trust in everybody associated. And so to me, man, the whole victim card, the always playing the victim, and that guy that has a name like Antonio Brown has, to me, that is it's so disgusting that it pains me, man.
2 years ago, he would widely be considered the best receiver in the NFL, and now he's out of the league and doing, you know, news items like this every single day. It's one of the more fascinating falls from graces you've seen in sports in a very long time. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham. Coming up next, Texans football analyst John Harris will join us. What is he seeing in Mobile? What does he think about the Weaver promotion to the defensive coordinator job for the Houston Texans? And how does this Houston Texans defense add more talent? We ask that to John Harris next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham joining us now, Texans football analyst, sideline reporter, John Harris. John, it's good for you to finally join us.
Yeah, you know, I'm in Mobile, so I'm a little bit busy, so I apologize. I was just standing on the sidelines. I was, you know, kind of hobnobbing a few feet away from Dan Marino and watching the Senior Bowl prospects. As I told BMAC, you know, I had to tell him and, you know, kind of, you know, curry favor with him. I was like, I was just watching Colin Johnson, the Longhorns, do some things, you know, and I got kind of wrapped up in it. So, but it's been good to be down here, and obviously plenty of representation from your two alma maters here, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know that to be true. John, what would you make of the promotion, Anthony Weaver, as the defensive coordinator? What are some of the positives with him taking over that job?
Well, I'm extremely biased towards Weave. I've known Weave for a long time. In fact, my first radio gig back in 07, we were looking for a Texans player to join us. And because our station at the time had no real connection to Texans, and 610 had Matt Schaub and Dre, Andre Johnson, and we just had no connection. We're like, well, how about Anthony Weaver? And we're like, yeah, let's do it. And so Sean Pendergast and I had Anthony Weaver on our show for 2 years, and he was absolutely fantastic and just loved him to death. And obviously Sean, you know, being a Domer like Anthony, they had a connection there. And then obviously Anthony with the football connection. I mean, we just had a great time with him. And when he got back in the building a few years ago, I just knew. I was like, this guy's going to be one heck of a football coach. And I've had a chance to kind of spend time with him at just different points in training camp or during the season and talk about stuff. And you can just – you get this feeling that there are guys that were just born to be coaches, born to be leaders. And Anthony Weaver is one of those guys. And I'm really curious to see how it goes with him and for him at the defense coordinator position. But as far as smarts, being able to adapt and adjust, but just have the right demeanor to deal with the ups and downs that go with that position, I think Anthony Weaver is going to be a great fit for this organization at that position.
John, what about what positions are you out there watching at the Senior Bowl right now?
Well, you know, yesterday, you know, when they weren't quite in full pads. They were in their uppers, as I would say. They just had shoulder pads on. Today, they're in full pads. Yesterday, I spent a lot of time watching the wide receivers and the DBs, do a lot of one-on-one stuff and watch them. And then today, I've watched a little bit more of the offensive defensive line because they're in full pads today. So right now, the South team is practicing. So, and it's weird, too, because the North team had – you know, Arkansas players and some SEC players, and there were some UCLA players in the North and some on the South. So they've kind of tried to split it up as evenly as possible. So North and South really doesn't do it justice. But I've, you know, just kind of taken a look at, you know, guys that rush, you know, rush the edge a little bit. There are some intriguing guys down here that can do that a little bit. I don't know if they're perfect fits for what the Texans want to do, but there are some guys that can get to the quarterback. And then, of course, I've watched O-line, D-line, watched, like I said, receivers yesterday. Some really good receivers down here, including Colin Johnson, B-Mac, that's for you. And, you know, the two guys that are your alma maters, you know, McKelvin Ajeem, who for Arkansas has come down here, got a late invite because he had a really good Shrine Bowl week. I think he's done some really good things on the inside from Arkansas. And then Josh Jones has obviously gotten a lot of rave reviews for what he has done throughout his season, his traits, his assets. And I thought today was a really good day for Josh. I didn't think day one was great for him. But I thought for Josh Jones, offensive tackle from the University of Houston, I thought he did a really good job today going against some of the better rushers out here at Senior Bowl.
Hey, Jalen Hurts took home an award last night. His mother, by the way, if any of the Hurts families out there listening, his mother crushed it in her acceptance speech, I guess, or accepting of the award in her remarks for the award that he won at the Houston Sports Awards last night. How's he look? I know he's out there. I know they got the split helmet with OU on one side and Alabama on the other. How's he spinning it around, man?
Well, I'm actually – he's on the other side of the field right now. I'm watching. They're getting ready. They're just kind of going through an individual period, doing some special team stuff. So he's about ready. He's about ready to sling it again. But I was talking to James Casey, former Rice University star, also played for the Texans and the Eagles and the NFL. He's the tight ends coach for the Bengals. And we were kind of joking with James Casey about Taysom Hill. And we're like, dude, you were like 5-7 years ahead of your time, bro. Like, if you would have come out now, they would have loved you because you could throw – you'd have been the next Taysom Hill. And we kind of looked over and we're like, that's what Jalen Hurts can be. He can be that guy if you want him to be because of the way that he runs it, the athletic ability to go out and catch it. He's strong. I didn't really watch him throw it too much yesterday. And so I made a point today. I wanted to see what he's able to do throwing the football. And I'm really curious to see what he does. But the people that did watch the quarterbacks a little bit closer than I did yesterday said he threw it pretty well yesterday. Justin Herbert was probably the one guy that threw it best. Jordan Love can sling it. If you haven't seen Jordan Love from Utah State and Dirty Red, I know you've seen him at least a few times. He was throwing pellets yesterday and today. I thought he's looked really, really good. And I'm curious to see how Herbert answers with this afternoon practice. But I think Jalen does so many good things for a football team. And talking to Casey and talking to some of the scouts that were here, they're just like, look, he's everything you really want in a football player in your building. And maybe he's not the perfect quarterback or he's probably not the perfect player, but he's just the kind of guy you want to have in your building. So I know some teams going to look at it and say, hey, we can do something with him. And it was just interesting talking to James. He was like, can you imagine taking a guy like Jalen Hurts and putting him with the Ravens with Lamar Jackson or with the Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes. And I was like, would you stop it, James? Like, I don't want to face that. I know you don't want to face it. You face the Ravens and Lamar Jackson twice a year. You want to face Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts now? Come on, man. Let's not give these teams ideas. But there's going to be an enterprising offensive unit that says, hey, look, we can take that guy and we can turn him into our own Taysom Hill. We can turn that guy into a multi-slash weapon for us. And I think that's eventually what Jalen's going to do. But obviously he wants to prove his wares as a quarterback. He may have to do it a little differently, kind of like Taysom's doing it. I mean, Taysom's proven, hey, I can throw the ball too. So when there is an opportunity for Drew Brees to step away, then maybe Taysom steps in. But I think Jalen's going to have a good rest of the week. I know that Jim Nagy was really excited to have him here because of the connection to Alabama, the type of teammate that he showed himself to be. And I think he's going to show that throughout the week with the meetings with the teams and obviously the practices with the Bengals staff.
John Harris joining us on Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. John, hey man, I need you to get me hooked up with whoever's running that deal out there. You're naming all them quarterbacks and watching them fellas throw the rock, and I don't need to talk to anybody. I promise. I won't interrupt at all. I just want to watch them quarterbacks, man. Here's the deal. Love is an absolute freak. Arm talent wise, he can rip it. I haven't seen enough of him to rant and rave about him, but you see him throw one ball and you're like, whoa, I got to see more. I need to see more from this cat right here. When you talk about big boy from Oregon, here's the deal. He's long and it's raw and it's all power, no finesse. Tell me how accurate that is as you watch him move along. The touch throws, the anticipation, turning the tip over inside the 20-yard line on the back pylon. Yep. Those are all things that you got to do at an elite level. Tell me if you see him do that moving forward.
Well, it's interesting you bring it up, Clint, because I was watching practice yesterday with my buddies, the sideline reporter for the Buffalo Bills, Sal Capaccio, and as Herbert, they ran a little boot play, and he comes out and he throws a ball on the run, just a dime. I mean, just whoa. And I turned to Sal and I said, you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of your guy. That reminds me of Josh Allen. And that's kind of who he reminds me of in some sense, but I do think that Herbert's a better and more polished passer right now than Josh was when he came out of Wyoming. But I think Allen was probably a little bit better playmaker, making things happen out of the pocket, making things happen with his legs a little bit more than Justin does. I think Herbert's still got a long way to go. I think you hit on those things that are still things that he's got to polish up on, but the natural throwing ability is definitely there. Now, he does not have – nobody that I've ever seen has an arm like Josh Allen, but Herbert's got that strong arm that he can throw seeds like on the run. He just threw a seed on the sideline, and I was like, wow, he's got that ability. And in the Rose Bowl, they finally kind of unleashed his running ability a little bit more, and it paid off in 3 touchdowns. So I think that NFL team's going to end up with a good player. I just hope it's not going to end up in a place like Indianapolis where he ends up there with that the weapons that Frank Reich has in Indianapolis. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But he's all of 6'6". When he walked on stage for the weigh-ins, Clint, he walked out and they said 6061, which is 6'6 and an eighth. I'm like, wow, I knew he was big. I didn't realize he was 6'6". I think he weighed at 230. So he is all – I mean, he is right on Josh Allen as far as size goes and things go. When I said that to Sal goes, he said that's exactly what Josh looked like back at Wyoming before he came to the Bills. And that's the kind of guy I would project him to be. He's going to take a little while, but he needs his reps. Once he works through those reps, gets in a system that's confident in him – like Buffalo has shown for Josh Allen, I think Justin Herbert's going to be a very good quarterback in the NFL for sure.
John, I asked you earlier about Anthony Weaver. What ways can the Texans improve the talent on the defensive side? They still have the second rounder. They'll have some money to spend, of course, in free agency. What do you think the best way is for the Texans to add to the talent pool on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, you know, for people that have known me for a long time, you know that I've always been about the draft. I have never really seen the free agent thing work extensively well for a team. The only time I really remember it being a big time hit was 2017 with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They went out and got Calais Campbell, AJ Boye, and I can't remember who else, but they also that year drafted Miles Jack. They drafted, I think, Cam Robinson in that draft too. And then they had a big draft to go with the free agency. So it wasn't just free agency. And I think that's kind of the way to look at it. You do have a little money to spend, but you've got to be smart about it. And so you can't, because look, the bills come and due on Laremy Tunsil and Deshaun Watson very soon. So it's not as if you can just say, hey, we got $57 million or $60 million, whatever it is, cap room. Let's just go spend it on Yannick Ngakoue because we have the money. You don't want to you're not going to burn a hole in your pocket with the money, so you got to be smart about it. So I do think there are ways that you can do it in free agency, maybe with a player in free agency, you know it'll be a good fit. And then with the draft, look, I think they've got 6 picks right now. They're going to probably get 2 more compensatory picks. So I think they're going to end up with 8 in total. And, you know, that's the way that they've drafted the last few years. They end up with 8 picks. You're going to end up getting probably 2 or 3 good players and guys that can contribute as rookies. So I think there are ways that you can do it. Look, you'll get a couple players back. You'll get Duke Ejiofor back. But that's going to be tough because he's coming off an Achilles. But you'll get him back. Hopefully you'll get J.J. back at 100%. And hopefully he doesn't get hurt on Saturday Night Live. Man, he'll be fine. But I think there are just different ways and different holes. And then obviously there are players that are in your building already that you got to make decisions on. A guy like Bradley Roby. What do you do with Robe? He's looking for a long-term deal, and I don't blame him. And he had at times this year the type of year that you would want to pay a big-time corner, but I don't know if it was consistent enough. So you've got to study that. You want to do that. So I think there are multiple ways that you can help this defense, whether it's bringing in not a bunch of free agents, but if you brought in like 1 free agent to help you on defense, you then drafted a couple of players that you know could help you right away that are versatile pieces that could fit into this defense, then maybe you start with those pieces. You get this defense turned back around where you want it to be like it was in 15 and 16.
John, thanks so much for coming on. I'm enjoying the tweets, and enjoy Mobile and the Senior Bowl.
Absolutely, boys. Thanks for having me. Take care.
You got us. John Harris, Texans football analyst and sideline reporter out at Senior Bowl from Mobile. Has a lot of good stuff on his Twitter. You'll want to check that out.
I'm going out there, man. Next year, I'm there.
Are you going?
Yep. I'm out there next year.
All right. Clint
Sports
Stern.
Radio 610 sending me.
Doing a remote from Mobile, Alabama.
That's right. Come on, baby.
Coming up next, out with the old, in with the new in terms of young quarterbacks taking the NFL by storm. We tell you how it changes the landscape with the NFL next. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. We'll be talking with former longtime NBA basketball player Kendrick Perkins at 418. Local guy, too. Played his high school ball at Beaumont Ozen, then went straight to the league. Out with the old, in with the new. Talking quarterbacks in the league, especially in the AFC. You look at Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. All players who are very young into their NFL career, but already having such tremendous success. If you want to throw Jimmy Garoppolo in that mix, you can a little bit too, going to the Super Bowl with San Francisco this year. A lot of young quarterbacks that are taking this league by storm.
Yeah, look, JB, it's a changing of the guard. We've talked about Drew Brees leaving, Brady. I think Brady entertaining free agency at 42 years old is an absolute joke, by the way.
Why do you think that?
It's just,
I'm fascinated by it.
I'm fascinated by it. Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, but I think it's all smoke and mirrors. There's no way that dude's throwing a pick six as his last pass thrown in Gillette. As a New England Patriot. I mean, there ain't no way. It's just not happening, bro.
He's going to Vegas with the Raiders.
I mean, look, I never say never. Never's a long-ass time. But what I'm saying is I don't think Brady – maybe I'm giving Brady too much credit. But Brady – there's no way that Brady looks at the success that the New England Patriots has and doesn't understand how important the culture, the Belichick, the whole – everything that's built there, the accountability, responsibility, do your job. And a lot of people say that, but the willingness to stick behind it and cut guys and get guys in and out that don't fit and make the right decisions and plug the wrong guys in for one game and throw a touchdown and then get them the hell out of town. The ability that's allowed this football team to win at such a high level, I think Brady understands how important that is and that it doesn't exist anywhere else in this league.
That's a fair point.
And so him leaving would be, to me, is a real – it'd be a head-scratcher if he did it. So, anyway, back to the point.
I took you off topic there. My bad.
We're talking about the fact that young quarterbacks are overtaking these older quarterbacks. You know, it's Breeze is still playing at a high level, but for the most part, some of the older heads, Rivers – Brady, they just didn't have the season this year that you thought they were going to have, and now all of a sudden these young cats are killing it. There's no better sign than look at the AFC Pro Bowl quarterbacks, Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, and Lamar Jackson. And so we spend a lot of time talking about those quarterbacks, but what does that really mean? Like, what does that mean? This ain't about just young cats taking – this ain't just Troy Aikman coming in the league – This ain't just Steve Young filling in for Joe Montana. It's not Elway and Marino exiting and the next 6'4" pro style, big arm, statuesque type of quarterbacks coming in. These cats right here are a sign. It's a sign that the game is changing. Exotic offenses are coming into this game and taking over the NFL game. College offenses are trickling into the NFL. The dual threat quarterback is still a real thing, but it's defined differently. Right now, it's a guy that can go make plays and stays in bounds and doesn't slide and goes and gets extra yards versus the guy that can make throws outside
like
the pocket.
A true runner.
Yeah, a true runner that can get out there and make plays with his feet. So, one, the game is not just changing with these young superstars. Those young superstars are coming with a changing of the way that the offensive game is played. And to put it very, very simply, the offenses are getting more and more exotic. We talked yesterday at length about San Francisco. The quarterback threw it 8 times. Right, but the exotic aspect of this game is you got Kansas City, who spends 99.9% of their time figuring out how to dissect the defense through the air and do it in an efficient way, and you got San Francisco, who's figuring out how to dissect the defensive front in the run game, and instead of always leaving the backside defensive end unblocked or the backside linebacker unblocked, they're blocking that guy because he's a 4-4 athlete,
yep.
Right? And they're leaving the 300-pound D-tackle to go chase a zone run down from the back, and it ain't happening. You're just seeing, because these young cats are taking over, you're seeing young coaches take over. You're seeing more exotic offenses take over. You're seeing the leadership role change in this league from this 6'4", well-dressed, super stoic type leader, like everybody shut up and listen to me type leader, to these dudes with a little bit more swag and a little bit more openness to tell you how they feel and to show you their real self and to the fan base to get close to them, to them through social media. It's just a complete changing of the guard, my brother. There's a lot of things that are going on right now that are really cool and are going to allow this NFL to be more entertaining.
It's a more modern game. It's
yes.
evolved to where it
yes.
is now, and I think it's for the better because you start to see those guys who it seems like you connect with them a little bit more because now they're not this 6'6 quarterback with a laser rocket arm. Now they're somebody that, you know, you look like that you can go to and hang out with. Like, Deshaun Watson's not a huge guy. Deshaun Watson's not like Ben Roethlisberger. Pat Mahomes has his cannon of an arm, but not a very huge guy. So we're also seeing the evolution of dual threat quarterbacks, but we've also seen that quarterback shrink a little bit as the game has went on last 5-7 years too.
I think there was a day and time in this league where if you were going to lead a franchise, and there's some outliers, obviously. Randall Cunningham, Steve Young was a little bit of an outlier, but for the most part, it's this real stoic individual that quiets the room when he walks in, that speaks a certain way, that demands respect. And now it's just, hey, man, respect my game. I'm one of you. Let's go break bread. Like you said, Deshaun Watson came in here to an event with us, and literally I watched film with him, broke down film with him, and chopped it up. I mean, Aikman back in the day, first 4 or 5 years in his career, wouldn't have come down to some radio station and done a dang. I mean, as cool as we are, by
Houston
the way,
Houston sports leader,
there ain't no doubt the best in the business. But there's no way that Aikman would have took the time out of his day unless he had an inside friendship to do that. I mean, nobody grew up with Deshaun around here. It was, hey man, will you do? Yeah, we'll do it. Boom, and he gets here, and it's just a total different accessibility. You know what I mean? Just the ability to reach out and talk to these cats and see them and see their real person and them not be able to build some general army general type of facade type. You know, it's, you know what I mean? It's just more real. And the game is changing in a beautiful way. There's one thing, though, that I think you got to take the good with the bad.
You have to take the good with the bad when you talk about these young quarterbacks?
Yeah, these young
quarterbacks.
What's that? Have you seen the video of Pat Mahomes' girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize you were going there, but yes, I have. She's a little on the annoying side.
She's a beautiful girl.
She likes to have fun.
Girl. She's a beautiful girl, and she supports the hell out of that quarterback, and I love her for it. I love her for that support. I got a woman in my life that supports the hell out of me. I love it to a fault. I love it
to a fault.
But if I see one more video, and have to listen to one more video of Pat Mahomes' girl screaming literally at the top of her lungs, screaming her head off, I'm gonna go crazy.
Do you think she knows she's doing that? Like, I mean, there's hell one thing to like be excited and yell, but do you think she knows it's that annoying? Like, if you have an annoying laugh, do you know it's annoying?
I don't know if it's an annoying laugh that you know. You know it's annoying. I got a buddy of mine that snorts real bad when it's not your normal snort, like you just kind of snort every now and then because you're
aware.
It's a yip. It's a yip. Yip. It's one of them, right? And a yip. Here's a funny story. Me and I run into a coach that I know, I believe it was Larry Lacewell. It was a scout, coach, and a scout as well. And we're in a restaurant, and my buddy's sitting to my left. They'd never met. I introduce him. Lacewell sits down and we're breaking bread. Lacewell's a great guy. You know what I'm talking about, Larry Lacewell.
He was ahead of
scouting for the Cowboys, and they're winning the Super Bowls that. He was with Barry Switzer at Oklahoma.
That's probably where
he coached. He came up coach. He's an Arkansas guy, but he got his first coaching job with Arkansas State. I mean, he's a great guy, great personality. He sits down and he's sitting there and we're breaking bread. Well, I said something or he said something that was funny, and that buddy of mine started going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And look, Coach Lacewell looked at me and said, damn, Sterner. He said, what'd you do? Did you bring the University of Utah's mascot with you? Because, the Ute, obviously. Ute.
Oh,
I said,
man.
Oh, man. I fell out laughing. So, yeah, he knows he's got a goofy-ass laugh. I give him hell about it all the time. And when it gets out of control, I'm like, bro, you got to pipe that down a little bit. Like, because if he holds his nose, it doesn't. Now, his head might explode, but if he holds his nose, the noise doesn't come out. So I always tell, like, if we're in a certain situation where, like, it's inappropriate and he gets tickled, I'm like, bro, you got to hold your nose, man. You got to chill out. So, yeah, he knows.
So he's holding his nose when he thinks something's funny?
Yeah, look, if he were in here right now and he was sitting across the studio, I was like, hey, laughing. Yeah, you can come in and hang out. And you say something funny, all of a sudden you get this yipper in the background. Yip, yip, yip.
Like, I think we need that on the soundtrack or something.
It would be good. It would be really good. We'll get him in here and get him laughing sometime. But yeah, it's one of those deals where he knows it's annoying as hell.
Yeah. You think Pat Mahomes' girl knows that it's annoying?
Yeah, I think she's trying to be annoying.
You think she's trying to be?
Yeah.
Really?
No doubt. I think again, we talked about the young quarterbacks that are changing the game. I think this young generation gives two big middle fingers, two big birds to you, and it's like, to hell with you. I don't care what you think. I'm fixing to be loud and scream and laugh and all that.
Here's what she sounds like if you haven't heard.
I just want to tune in and say all those people that doubted us and hated on us and thought we were going to lose this day.
Over and over and over. The follow-up was, head shaking, the camera's shaking, over and over and over again. And so, I'm just one that's, for me, Chief, I don't need all that.
I don't think I could date a girl who did that over and over again.
There ain't no chance.
Right?
No
I'm not chance. The only one saying that. Like, I thought that you might not agree with me when I said that, but I couldn't. That's too much. That's extra for me, and I want no part of it.
The one good thing is if she's had a couple of drinks and she's up there enjoying the game and does it, I'd be like, all right, whatever. But I think it's happened two or three times now, and so for me it's one of those, like, could you imagine sitting around the house and she's beautiful. We walk around the house, maybe in a nightie or something. Maybe in a T-shirt, maybe your T-shirt from last night, yours personally, but maybe Pat Mahomes' T-shirt from last night or something. All of a sudden, she starts, like, was that Poltergeist or something? Her head starts spinning like Beetlejuice, and she starts screaming, and you're like, oh, wait, buzzkill, you ruined the moment. Yeah, no, I can't handle all that squealing, man.
I have a hot take. So, that's only his girlfriend, right?
I assume.
This is not going to be Mrs. Mahomes.
You don't think so?
No, it's not going to be. We'll see. We'll see. This is going to be a futures bet, but this will not be Mrs. Mahomes.
Why you say that? Because she screams like that? I didn't mean to convince you that she's not marriage material. I just said she would get under my skin a little bit.
We both agree with that, though.
Okay.
So all I'm saying is that I don't think she's the one. I don't think she's the one for Pat Mahomes.
I'm 42, so clearly I don't have the game figured out, but we'll see. Nonetheless, it just the first time I'm scrolling, it's like, okay, these fans going crazy. And I hit the volume. It's like, God. Yeah.
It's a bit much.
I sat back and was like, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that.
Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. We mentioned those three quarterbacks. Watson, of course, a Pro Bowler. Lamar Jackson, of course, a Pro Bowler for the AFC. Well, Pat Mahomes is in the Super Bowl, so they had to find a replacement for Pat Mahomes to be in the Pro Bowl Ryan Tannehill is Pat Mahomes' replacement. Another AFC South quarterback. If people try to diss this division, you have two Pro Bowl quarterbacks from the AFC South.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you got one playing Pro Bowl in Texas, and you got the other one that's originally from here that played college right up the street, man. I don't know if Tannehill's the answer for the Texans. I think he's a great fit for what they want to do. And if that's what they want to do, if they're gonna hang their hat on a big, strong run game and play action off of it being their counterpunch with a quarterback that can make plays with his feet outside the pocket, then they ain't going to find better than Tannehill. He does all the little things well. He appears to be a leader of men in the locker room. And what the resume he built over 10 games, 7-3, completing the easy balls, the ability to throw the big ball over the top in play action, took the team to the AFC championship. I love it. I love the fact the league didn't say, well, you know, and I don't even know who else would have been in the running, but I'm glad the league didn't say, well, you know, he only started 10 games. He missed 6 games. He's not the focal point of their offense. So, you know, let's go a different direction. I love the fact that the league noticed what this guy did in a 10-game span, how special it was, how difficult it is to change teams, move across, not across the country, but move to a big city, different city, settle in, be patient, win the position, ball out, do exactly what your team needs you to do, and have that kind of success. I love it for Ryan Tannehill. I think it's awesome.
It'll be interesting to see what the Titans do with their free agency too, because Tannehill's a free agent, Derrick Henry's a free agent.
Yep.
I mean, if you can't get a contract done with either one of them, you only got one franchise tag. Maybe somebody bolts. Tom Brady's been mentioned as a name if Tannehill leaves to maybe go to Tennessee, thinking they're a quarterback away. So that's something to monitor how Tennessee handles those impending free agents. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham. Did you see the news with Justin Reed today? He was playing the entire season with a torn labrum. Me being on my Week 17 kick, I immediately looked at his snap counts in Week 17, and Justin Reed in a meaningless game played over half the defensive snaps. But the point is that Justin Reed is a really tough dude and a leader for this defense for years to come.
Look, and I know it's hard for people to see right now. But again, I want to revisit a conversation that we had earlier about Justin Reed. The reason that Tyrann Mathieu and the reason that Kareem Jackson were essentially not re-signed, and now the price tag got too expensive, right? But it was a combination of what they were going to be able to fetch on the open market. The Texans were not willing to pay that. But the reason that they were not willing to pay that didn't have to do with dollars and cents to a full degree, right? Not totally. It had a lot to do with the fact that Justin Reed is the staple of this defense. We had Chester Pitts on yesterday, former Houston Texan, still currently working in the organization in some capacity in the media department. He alluded to the secondary not necessarily being a weakness, but the fact that the only shoe-in foundational piece that you have in that secondary is Justin Reed.
Fair point.
And so when you talk about those things being the case, JB, it's no surprise that Justin Reed played this way. That tells you that they guessed right. They made the right decision about Justin Reed's our future. We drafted him.
Now, you did go out and sign Tayshaun Gibson.
Yeah, no, you got some help. But I'm talking about the decision to just let the two walk that did walk instead of re-signing one of them, possibly overpaying for one of them. Now
Matthews, I mean, he was an all-pro. Yeah, yeah, so, but, I mean, that doesn't look great in hindsight.
Hindsight's 2020, baby. You know what I mean? Like, when if you take yourself back to when the decision was made,
yeah, I agree,
you look at it and go, hey, I can understand, and this is why, because Justin Reed is a guy that doesn't only ball out. He's dependable. He's a great leader, and he plays injured in a time when the defense was just beat to death with injury. So no surprise that Justin Reed played injured throughout the entire season with a torn labrum. And that's exactly it. Look, that's one that the GM and the panel, they got that right, brother.
Yeah. Well, although Brian Gain was the one that made that pick. Whenever Justin Reed was drafted out of Stanford, a guy that a lot of people thought should have went earlier than the third round. But, yes, the Texans putting a lot of stock in Justin Reed last season, and he paid dividends and played also with that torn labrum. Excited to see the rest of his career as a Houston Texan. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham, coming up next. Should the Texans and Cowboys play every year? Jerry Jones thinks so. Do we? That's next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.